Welcome into the 2022 NFL Draft Recap Podcast. Our draft coverage on Jaguars.com is presented by Cadillac. JP Shadrick, Bucky Brooks, Ashlyn Sullivan, John Osier wrapping up round one. And what a day, what a night it was for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The number one overall pick, Trayvon Walker. The number 27 overall pick, Devin Lloyd. Defense, 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 John. Trayvon Walker, let's start with that one up front, number one.
Just overall, it surprised me. You could not expect Trayvon to a degree. I didn't expect the combination of the two. I didn't expect them to go defense so hard. It's an interesting approach because some people believe you can build a defense in free agency quickly. They have chosen to go physical, versatile up front. Trayvon Walker, the storyline with him is going to be obvious. Will the NFL production exceed the college production, and will all of the potential, which is vast, be fulfilled? And to me, that's the storyline for the first couple of years of this kid's career.
Look, Buck. No, I mean, I think obviously that's going to be the storyline. And it's funny because the Devin Lloyd pick comes at the end of the draft. And I don't want to say it overshadows the number one overall pick, but I think the surprise with Lloyd being available at the bottom of the first round for the Jaguars to make an aggressive move to get that.
You love him.
Absolutely. Lloyd. Absolutely. Because I think he's one of the blue chip players in this draft class. And I think he's going to be a star at this level. And I think when you look at the draft now in total with the first round, the combination of Trayvon Walker and Devin Lloyd, to me, should be something to get excited about because the opportunity to put two versatile athletes on the field, two guys that are very disruptive, very physical in their play, but more importantly, guys who really love ball, I think you begin to kind of create an environment in the locker room that is necessary to play good football.
Yes, we're getting inside access from Las Vegas. Brian Sexton just interviewed Devin Lloyd, and he said that he asked him, okay, what are you bringing to Jacksonville? He goes, I'm just a good person. That's all he said. We need more of that here in Jacksonville. Just good people.
Yeah. Need more of that on this desk.
Okay, he'll fit right in here. Great. We'll save a chair for him. The word that they used a lot in that press conference right after they picked Trayvon Walker, I think they used it 17 times, was versatility. Mm-hmm. I joke it wasn't 17 times.
It was close, maybe 13.
A handful of times at least. That made a lot of sense. He played a lot of places in Athens, Bucky, and he was on the field a lot. He had the most snaps by percentage of any defensive lineman on that very good Georgia team.
Yeah, Swiss Army knife. I mean, really the epitome. He's a guy that can play anywhere from right over top of the center all the way out to the edges. And now it's a matter of trying to determine what's the best spot for him. It's tough to do a lot with young players because you're trying to acclimate to the pro game, you're trying to figure out the pro playbook, and you're trying to just kind of learn your way. But the versatility is his strength. And so how do they unlock that, tap into that very, very early in his career? It's something that's hard to do for a young player. But they obviously have to have a plan for him to really maximize his talents.
I thought it was telling, Bucky. I asked you on the set upstairs, probably the last question we talked about, how do you bring him along? Mm-hmm. How, you know, with a player so versatile, what do you do at the start of his career? And during the presser, Trent Baalke and Doug Peterson both addressed that. And Doug went out of his way two or three times to say, we're going to find him a position early, meaning Trayvon Walker. Let him get settled there. Let him go there. And then after that, let him show his versatility. I was telling that it was clearly on their minds, clearly something they have talked about, and clearly a major discussion point even before he was drafted.
Well, it has to be one of those things. The one thing that you don't want to – one of the things you're trying to avoid is taking a player that you don't have a clear plan. So it's really important that the personnel staff and the coaching staff are in lockstep when it comes to his utilization. How are we going to utilize him? What's the plan to get him on the field? How do we want to approach it? What room does he go to day one? Does he go to deep tackles? All of those things have to be discussed because the last thing you want to do is not give the kid a chance
to succeed.
You don't
want him confused for a month.
You want to put him out back. There. So it'll be interesting to see where they start him out and how long before they begin to move him around, if they move him around at all this rookie season.
I'm just struck in – we're talking in the wake of a very busy hour where, you know, while we're all trying to – sort of process it, how different this night went than I anticipated, and how much there's a feeling that they've really, and Bucky, you know Doug, and you follow scouting, so you sort of know how GM's minds work. Were you surprised that they went this bold to establish the identity of the defense? Because it really feels like the defensive identity, or we've learned what they want. We've learned what they want to be. Am I overstating that?
No, I think versatility is huge, and I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised because the player was there that enabled them to do it.
But you think Lloyd really defines everything, it sounds like.
Kind of. I think so. And I think he defines everything because he is a very productive player. And maybe I was wrong in my evaluations coming up through this, but I thought he was a top 10 player. I couldn't understand the conversation with him not being included in the top 10. The things that he was able to do in stuffing the stat sheet, the sacks, the tackle for losses, the interceptions, all within a year where he had multiple disruptive splash plays. When you think about our defense the last couple of years and watching it, we haven't had many big plays, many game-changing plays. And the only way that you can add that to the defense, you have to add players who are able to do it. So, yes, I was really excited about that pick, but I don't want to take anything away from Trayvon Walker and what he can add, because he is – dynamic and explosive and disruptive. He's just not necessarily a pass rusher.
And JP, Bucky's not revising history. In our draft series that we did, we combined the edge rusher and the linebacker. And Bucky's best in the story that we did on that was Lloyd.
Yeah.
And that included edge rushers. Now, I'm not saying you necessarily thought he was better than the guys up top.
I think
he was in that conversation.
Yeah, I think he's one of the best players. I think he's one of the best players in the draft. And I hope in two or three years we look back and we talk about him being one of the dominant players. The comparison to Darius Leonard that many have made is very valid, because when you look at the way Darius Leonard plays and the way he impacts the game as an off-the-ball linebacker, he's been a catalyst to those Indianapolis Colts defense. I would expect Devin Lloyd doing the same.
Ashlyn, Brinson Buckner is from Columbus, Georgia, the defensive line coach. Trayvon Walker is from Thomaston, Georgia. It's about an hour's drive away, if that.
Oh, boy. So you're saying they're close.
Well, I'm saying they're from a similar area, and I think that's a big deal for those guys in that part of the state of Georgia. That's a big deal. And Brinson Buckner came on a podcast or a show last week, Happy Hour, and said
– Your show, yeah.
No, it's our show, Jaguars.
Thank you. I'm glad someone – your show.
Thank you. He said I asked him, what do you talk to these prospects about when they come in to visit? And he said, basically, I just want to see if you're a good guy. Like, can I be around you? Do I like being around you?
Yeah. You got to go to work with them every day.
That's right.
And spend countless hours in this building. I'll tell you what, I was running down the hallway to change my shirt because I wasn't expecting a trade. And oh my gosh, I was very frazzled. They are high-fiving in the hallway right now. Oh, yeah. They are fired up and saying this is a huge win today.
Let's take a timeout. Back in a moment. We'll get a little deeper into the Devin Lloyd pick after this. Welcome back to the NFL Draft Recap Podcast. After round number one, J.P. Shadrick, Bucky Brooks, Ashlyn Sullivan, John Osier. The Jaguars trade three draft picks to the Buccaneers. The 33rd overall, the 106th, and the 180th picks. That's a second rounder, a fourth round, and a sixth rounder. The Buccaneers give up the 27th pick, and the Jaguars select linebacker Devin Lloyd from Utah. First team All-American last year, two-time Butkus finalist. We've talked a little bit about him, Bucky, but this guy, not just a one-year wonder, for multiple years in Salt Lake City, put up numbers in 19. It was a shortened COVID year in 20. He still put up numbers in five games. And then last year, off the charts.
I know you guys are early birds out here on the East Coast, and y'all don't get a chance to see Pac-12 after dark. So, like,
we certainly don't.
You probably had to go and look and see where Utah, the Utes, where they play, what. But if you had an opportunity to watch Pac-12 football, this dude was all over the map. And he's done it for the last couple of years, where he makes a ton of plays. His energy, his leadership ability, all those things are certainly added. But, you know, just listening to him, you talk about good people. Character matters, and it matters in the locker room. The best teams typically have guys that, like, love being around one another, guys that are able to hold people accountable. There's a level of commitment that they display, because that allows them to build the trust. And so when you have enough of those guys in the locker room, good things happen. And Devin Lloyd is certainly one of those guys. And when you add him on top of Trevor Lawrence and Josh Allen and some of the other good guys, Christian Kirk is like that. Zay Jones has that ability. You begin to have a different feel around the locker room. And if you get that part right, then the ball will end up being right.
So why did he drop?
You know, like, it's really weird, man. I think sometimes in these things, like, you have too much time from the last time guys play ball to the time that you pick. And so there's a beauty pageant feel to the draft where you go to the combine and all this other stuff and the athleticism. He didn't run as fast as people had hoped, but at the end of the day, you have to trust the tape and how people play. That's how they're going to play in the league.
There's also a little bit of a positional change. Inside linebacker is only going to go so high.
A little bit. See, like people say that, but then I get annoyed by that because good players are good players. And I think sometimes, like I understand when the level of positional value, but you can't get enough of good players. And a lot of times in the draft process, we overthink, oh, well, this position, we need to wait later. Like a couple years ago for the Indianapolis Colts, the conversation with Quentin Nelson in the guard not being able to be selected in the top five. But then he only goes and becomes a three-time All-Pro player since he stepped in. I think good players, you can't get enough of good players, and Devin Lloyd is a good player, and Trayvon Walker has an opportunity to be a really, really good player.
So, now, I'm sorry,
I didn't mean to annoy Bucky.
I was going to say that. You're annoying him. It's only day one, and you're annoying him.
Sensitive. Ashlyn, the revamp of this linebacker room is dramatic, obviously. Miles Jack is gone. He's in Pittsburgh now. Foye Aluakon is in here in free agency, and here's Devin Lloyd in Utah, first-round pick. Is this group putting their stamp on that position?
Yeah, and we talked about linebacker leading up to this draft, and we said, okay, yeah, it's an area of need, but it surprised me because when we talked about this trading up scenario, we only really ever mentioned wide receiver. That was the trending topic. But then you looked at how this night shook out. They would have had to trade up so high to make that happen. So now when you look back at it, okay, we said, yeah, running back and linebacker. It was an area of need. I just think when you looked at wide receiver, that made the most sense, but it was unrealistic with the way the board shook out.
Did Linderbaum go?
Yes.
Okay. So he went
to the Baltimore Ravens, right? Two picks,
20s,
before,
yeah, 25. In the mid-20s.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know if he had dropped and Lloyd hadn't.
Yeah.
Would they have done that? Maybe they made the trade. You know, I have no idea. It's speculation, but it was telling. I thought they might trade up for either center or wide receiver. I anticipated because my thinking was you can get okay starter inside linebacker in the third or fourth round. To me, it's significant that they basically said we want better than okay starter there. And that's why I think it's such a statement on how they want to play and where they're going to put their priority. Again, it surprised me, but it's certainly a potentially, you know, era-defining move. If you're saying that the next couple of years, this could define what they are for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I would say the receiver thing, and it's going to sound weird when I say this based on the amount of money that was spent out in free agency, but Doug Peterson comes from like the Mike Holmgren tree in Green Bay and Andy Reid and those guys, and they have a true feeling that you can win a lot of games with B and B plus as their wide receiver, depending on how good the quarterback is. And so if they have enough confidence to believe that Trevor Lawrence is a generational talent, they may not feel the need to have to go above and beyond to get what people may deem to be A-level receivers. And it's also been proven in the last couple of years, when you look at the draft, the wide receivers that have really popped have been the second and third rounders. You go back, second round in particular, Deebo Samuel, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, I want to say it was a third-round pick. It's been proven that you can find those guys in those rounds. And so because of that, there may not have been the urgency to move up in the first round to get him when there's been so many guys that have had success in day two.
A.J. Brown popped $100 million worth tonight, huh?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, got traded.
Good
he got
him.
Paid.
Good night to be A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
$100 million,
yeah.
Huh? You know?
Pretty good night at the office for old A.J.
57 guaranteed.
Yeah.
That'll
work.
My soul.
That'll pay, right? That'll be okay.
Cash.
All right, so we move to tomorrow now. The Jaguars currently do not have a second-round pick, but they have a pair of third-round picks, 65th overall and 70th overall. That's the first and the sixth picks in the third round. They also have a fifth-round pick on Saturday. 3 6th-round picks remaining and 2 7ths. Ashlyn, you know, does Trader Trent come back again tomorrow?
I was personally hoping they might have packaged some of those sixes and moved them up today, and that would have just
got one
made
out of there.
Yeah,
got
but
one
that package a little more and move on up. It would just make everyone's life a little easier, I thought.
Are you a little shorter Saturday?
Yeah.
Were
I'm
you
not
surprised,
asking for much.
Buck, that
it's John's line.
They used a six. I was surprised that they got up 4 or 5 notches for the value they gave up. They gave up, what, 106?
Yeah, 33rd, 106, and 180.
So you gave up 106 and 180 to move up 5 spots in the first round. that to me is a pretty decent trade for the Jags.
It was a decent trade, and it seemed like that in the press when Trent was like, hey, we met in the middle, basically.
Yeah.
I threw something out, they threw something back, and they were like, yes.
I don't think that's very much to give up.
No.
To move up five spots, because low first round to me is more equity. But I mean, I'm not criticizing the Bucks for it. It just struck me that I would have thought to move up at all, you would have had to give up more than that. So
yeah, no, it has been a really good deal. And Balky talked about he didn't really care about it. He wanted a player,
right?
And sometimes when you want a player, you give up whatever you need to give up. And we'll talk about these sixth and seventh round picks, and there is a value to those, but you want to use those, I guess, lottery tickets to move up to see if you can get a better
price.
It's
darts at a board after the fifth round, but
I mean, it's darts at the board the entire draft. The entire draft is darts at the board.
Especially free agency.
I do like when he was talking about this trade shaking out and how he kind of just looked at Coach Peterson and he looked back and they said, all right, let's do it. Like, it was clear they had talked about this numerous times, so it all had to be was just a look and it was time to go.
Well, that's why when they talked about it being at 24. And when I heard Linderbaum went 25, they may have looked at it and said, there's a couple of guys we like. And again, I'm just speculating on Linderbaum because it's 12-20.
Yeah.
But, clearly they had guys in mind that they wanted. So I'm with Bucky. If you like the player, go get them and don't worry about if they're going to be available or if it's a certain level of spot for a certain position. Go get your guy.
Well, it's past John's bedtime, so it's time for us to wrap up this podcast.
Mm-hmm. He's getting crabby.
This Thursday night, now Friday morning. And, of course, continued coverage on Jaguars.com throughout the weekend. We'll have press conference coverage. Trayvon Walker scheduled tomorrow about 2 o'clock, I believe. And then we'll find out exactly the time for Devin Lloyd. That might not be tomorrow. It might be
Saturday at 10 a.m.
Oh, Saturday 10. Thank you, Flynn.
Breaking news.
There you have it. Okay, those are the press conference times. And then, of course, we'll have a pre-show tomorrow leading into draft night where, at least as of right now, we'll be sitting around twiddling our thumbs in round two. There's nothing going on until the third round. That'll do it for the NFL Draft Recap Podcast. On day number one, for Ashlyn Sullivan, John Osier, Bucky Brooks, and Joe Fortunato, I'm JP Shadrick. We'll catch you tomorrow afternoon.